Well, do you have any idea whether your Senate vote last time around actually went to your intended candidate? Remember the whole long tablecloth Senate voting paper, the complexity of it? Then the revelations about the role of the man they dubbed the preference whisperer, Glenn Drury, in engineering deals that gave us a colourful mix of new senators not from the established parties. The Greens and the federal government are believed to be close to an agreement now on Senate election reform. On Monday, Greens leader Richard Di Natale told RN Breakfast that the Greens support reform, though not everything that the government's proposing.
People who are in the parliament should be elected there democratically, not because somebody who votes for a particular candidate sees their vote transferred to another candidate without their knowledge, and sometimes electing people with the opposite views to the person that you're voting for. So in a democracy, first and foremost, we need to make sure that our system's democratic. We don't believe in a voting system of a just vote one. We'd like to see preferences distributed to help small parties, which is why we said that our baselines must be 1-6.
That's Richard Di Natale speaking to us on Monday. The Greens, though, are accused by some of working with the major parties against smaller parties. Fiona Patten is the leader of the Australian Sex Party. The Sex Party has not managed to win a federal seat yet, but she was elected to Victoria's upper house in the 2014 state poll. She's the party's first sitting MP. Fiona Patten, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
What's wrong with the Greens' proposal to allow voters to vote 1-6 above the line rather than the just vote one group voting system, which, you know, does have some strange elements to it?
Look, I think it does have some strange elements to it, but I think it's actually, while Senator Natale says that it's undemocratic, I think it really has thrown up pretty much what the voters voted for. So in the last Senate election, 30% of Australians voted for a smaller party, and there seems to be a groundswell of support for alternatives to the major parties. And the Senate system that we've had certainly helped get the Greens elected. That same system which operates in the upper houses in South Australia, West Australia and Victoria, helped get Nick Xenophon elected. And they've gone on to make great contributions to our parliament.
There's no doubt about that. But yes, while people might be voting for a smaller party, do you think if they voted for, say, Family First, they were happy to get the Motorist Party elected? Or if they voted for, I don't know, the Greens perhaps, well, not the Greens, that's a bad example, but if they voted for a senator in one party, they were happy to get the Shooters Party elected? Or, you know, people don't know, that's the point, isn't it?
Look, I think there is room for reform. And when you look at something like Victoria, where, and I'm on the Electoral Matters Committee down here, and we're not getting any complaints about the electoral system here, where the voters do have that option to vote 1-5 or 1-25 below the line, and that does seem to give voters that option, and I do support giving voters the option of not having to fill in the whole tablecloth of the ballot.
But isn't that exactly what the Greens is proposing, that you can just put vote 1-6, it's transparent, you can actually number the six people in order that you prefer?
You can, but you can only vote, the majority of the population will just vote one. So they vote, if they vote for a minor party, and that party doesn't get close to 20% of the votes, they won't get elected. So those votes will all be lost. So it really will close off any opportunity for a small party to be elected unless they can attract close to 20% of the vote. Now, for a young party that doesn't have the millions of dollars that the Greens have or that the Labor and Liberal have, that is nigh impossible to pick up 20% of the vote. So it really is setting the bar incredibly high. And it's setting the bar incredibly high after the likes of Nick Xenophon and the Greens have been elected, have been able to use that standing, that being elected to get more people elected. So it's closing the door for small parties effectively, because it is very hard for a young party to attract 20% of the vote across the nation.
Can you just explain why it's 20% of the vote? Because currently people are getting elected with much less than that. Is it because the major parties will all get that kind of level and everything else below that will then just drop off? So how would it affect your party, for instance?
Because there would be no preference flows, on that 1-6, you'd have to almost get a full quota.
Right.
Yourself to be elected. So it would be looking at a quota of you would need nearly a full quota to get elected. So that's why it would be close on 20%.
There's a report today in one of the papers that suggests the Greens are doing themselves in the eye, basically, that if you crunch the numbers, they're going to actually lose on this, and it'll end up the coalition having complete control of the Senate, winning, I think, an extra, I think it's 7 votes, I haven't quite got it in front of me, a gain of 7 seats. Labor would stay at 25, the Greens would leave 2. And the Greens are saying, well, you know, it's the party's committed to voting reform over electoral advantage. What do you make of that?
I haven't seen that report, so I couldn't comment. But in most of the reading, you would suggest that the Greens will maintain the seats that they have, and the Libs will benefit from it, and it seems that Labor will benefit less from it. So it will probably be the Liberals having to negotiate with the Greens to get their budget through. And I think it is a careful what you wish for. But I do think it's disappointing when we are closing the door to allow that diversity that we are starting to see. And there is a groundswell for those smaller parties. And, you know, I hold the balance of power, not all the time, but many times in the upper house in Victoria. And I think, you know, we've been able to do some good things, having independents in the upper house. We've been able to push the government on policies that the people want, whether it's, in my case, safe access zones or drug law reform.
Can I just ask you briefly and finally on another matter? Because last week on Breakfast, we had a look at the issue of children being exposed to pornographic images. Mm. You're in the sex party. Do you accept there is an emerging problem with the number of kids viewing this kind of material, the type of images they're seeing, and does the industry need to take some responsibility for that?
I do think that I'm not sure that I would call it an emerging problem, but I do think it's an emerging issue. And, you know, I would welcome industry's involvement in looking at this. And industry for many years has been setting up its own systems where, you know, so they work with any filter that a parent might use. I guess I caution when we talk about this, we generally go down the track of an internet filter, and we generally go down the track of, you know, blocking adult material for everyone to protect children. And I agreed with the listener, with the people that you interviewed last week, that this is about education.
All right.
And we need to educate parents, and we need to educate children. Let's see sex education, let's in schools from early childhood right through to graduation.
Okay, Fiona Patten, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Fiona Patten is a member of Victoria's Upper House and leader of the Australian Sex Party. It's 7:15 on Breakfast.